I get to do the tech board at the church.
Oh, cool.
I'm secretary in tech.
Nice. You guys are really good with the tech stuff.
Mm. Yeah, we're surviving it.
We don't get fancy.
Shoe marks on here.
What?
What?
I don't know if it's handprints or shoe marks or something on there.
My thumbprints.
It'll wipe off. It'll wipe off.
You say what? What happened to that book?
I was like, what in the heck?
Behave. Okay.
Can you do me a favor and take a picture of us? Because I'd love to have this.
I'm behind Batman.
Oh, I was going to do that.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, with Batman.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's good job. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. See how that came out? That looks good. Your office is a perfect backdrop.
There's a book about your shoes, all the places you'll go. Something like, there's a book about
that. Oh, yes.
Hey, this is Craig Greenberg. You're listening to my latest album, The Grand Lost and Legacy, here on Comic Pop Library.
Episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, and we're here with Jonathan and Michelle joining us today. And in-house, actually, we have Scott Novosel, the author of the graphic novel Fieldhouse. So, Scott, thank you for coming in for us tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was so nice of you guys to invite me. This place is awesome. The office we're in is just so stimulating. It's cool.
It's something that might be good or bad.
It's not psychedelic. I promise you.
It's definitely not psychedelic.
Just for keeping up appearances, we want to mention that Sam Sharp is the artist for the graphic novel Fieldhouse. So give him a plug, because I know he's out there too. We wish he would have been here. That would have been even cooler.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, he's an Eisner nominated artist for a comic book that he had called Vuotron. And he's actually one of the stories in Vuotron. He's making a full graphic novel as we speak. So
that's cool.
Yeah, he's such a good artist.
Yeah, for sure.
I have some. I'll send them out to you for sure.
There is something that I've been dying to say.
Oh no, go for it.
Rock chalk Jayhawk.
Go KU.
Yeah, of course.
Love it.
And that's without any reference, so we want to reference it now. Scott was fortunate enough, through the struggles that he went through, actually got to be on the court for the KU basketball team, the Jayhawkers, back in 94-95
was the season, yep.
Okay. That's why you draw it out, so when you don't know, they will answer for you. But
Richard, I do believe he was the shortest one ever on that court.
Yeah, Scott showed us a video of his, when he got on the court. Yeah. And yes, I'd be even shorter, so I can't say can't say a thing. One of the things with the story, this is one, I'm going to give a shout out to a couple of people, DC and Mike McGannon, and tell them Scott experienced what you experienced here last summer, where we had Scott here for the Kearney County Library, gave a presentation, and he was kind enough to come out here for it. And evidently, evening programs just don't work for us because we have very little people. So we had another cozy atmosphere. And so we're going to have fun with him here tonight as well before he leaves back to Kansas City. So, and we wish him safe travels on that, because that is a fair distance. So
yeah, thank you.
We do appreciate everything, and you stay an extra for doing this.
No problem. My pleasure.
You were going to go all the way back tonight. Now, we do have a guest bedroom. We might have to make it up, but we do have one. But the story is basically you start out with being in school age, roughly. Mm-hmm. Is it middle school?
Yeah, I mean, school? So I would go back to 1986, and the Kansas basketball team that year had Danny Manning, it had Chris Piper, it had Mark Turgeon and Calvin Thompson and Ron Kellogg. These guys were my favorite players. Cedric Hunter was a point guard too. And I'll never forget, in the Final Four in 1986, they were down in Dallas playing against Duke. And in between the game, there would be timeouts. I'd run outside and I'd shoot baskets. I was pretending I was Danny Manning. And from then on, I always dreamed of being a Kansas Jayhawk playing basketball for the Jayhawks.
And some people in this state would crucify you for that, because we have a very good rivalry between KU and K-State. So.
Yes, I do too. Actually, my dad played football at K-State, so we always razz each other. Yeah.
So it's in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but you went and you actually pursued your dream, and some people, the courage to do that is not necessarily there. And it's just, and some people it's that leap of faith. And what led you to have that leap of faith to follow your dream through school, and you can, and then up into college? And you can explain your story a little bit, because I don't want to put words into your mouth. So if you would, what was that like, you know, having the inspiration, taking that leap of faith? What drove you for that?
Yeah, so I was telling you guys earlier, I was never recruited, you know, coming out of high school or anything. I just kind of kept my head in the game, and they had a JV program up at the University of Kansas. So I got onto that team, and then, you know, I kind of just stuck it out. I kind of hung in there, and then finally they scratched the JV program, and at the end of my junior year, I wrote a letter to Coach Williams, and I said, "Coach, you know, I'm doing everything I can to make that team, and I hope you can give me a chance," right? So that summer, I worked my tail off as much as I could. And I remember thinking, okay, this is as a, you know, a 21-year-old kid. After I wrote that letter, I said, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can to make that team. I'm going to train the hardest I ever had before. I was going to be in the best shape of my life. And if I don't make that team in the fall, then I can look back in 20 years and I can say, hey, man, at least I tried. I'll go party. I'll go have fun my senior year. And at least I tried to do it. And you know, the rest is history. I ended up making it, and it was a dream come true. And that's what gave me the idea for the story of Fieldhouse after that season.
Did you ever get to go party?
Well, yeah, after the season was done. We were too busy during the season.
How healthy was that party?
We drank wheatgrass juice and carrots.
Oh, yummy.
That's worth it. Worse than nerd partying. That's health nut partying.
Yeah, health nut partying. Right.
Oh. You can have barley beverages.
No. No, thank you. No, thank you.
You don't like barley? Or you could do potatoes, you know, that clear.
Well, I mean, yeah, the potatoes will work if they sit there for a while.
We found Jonathan's flavor.
If the potatoes like sit there for a while and like nicely ferment.
Nice. Fermented potato.
Yeah, have some nice vodka.
Exactly.
So no, this is one where it was not an easy path. This is one where you did have obstacles. Mm-hmm. And this is where the graphic novel is geared, I would say, more for the middle school to lower high school age.
Yep.
Some upper high schoolers that are into graphic novels might get into it. And if you're a sports fan at KU, you probably would. But it's about the courage and the inspiration and the passion to just drive through the adversity. And would you explain some of the adversities that you went through obtaining where you were wanting to go with your dream?
Sure. And I'll tell you, you know, a great quote from a guy who reviewed the book. He's a great guy. His name's Shaq Goldstein. He said that This is a great book to inspire your kids and your grandkids while re-inspiring yourself. So what I found is that those middle school kids up to the lower high school, they love it, and is their parents and grandparents love it as well. And why I think they love it is because we need more stories about embracing adversity, about telling kids that, like, look, man, this is going to be tough, and get ready for it, because life is not going to hand you anything. And so, you know, my sophomore year, I tore my ACL. And, you know, that's my anterior cruciate ligament. So I had knee reconstructive surgery. And at that point, it took me about a year and a half before I got back into action. I could move my leg. And I remember thinking at the time, I had two choices. I could either mope about it, or I could go rehab that leg as best as I could, because I had one last shot. I had my senior year to try out for this team. And, you know, when you can face adversity, the funny thing is that the making of the book is right in line with the story as well. Because Michelle had mentioned that earlier today too, is that it took me 20 years to make this book. I originally thought, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to have this thing done by 1997, 1998, and life had a different plan for me. And it's always going to try to push you one way, and that's fine to get pushed, as long as you just take a sidestep and keep moving forward. And that's what this book is about. It's about teamwork. It's about positive attitude. It's about grit and perseverance.
And that's one of the things where today's kids, and even when I was growing up, to be honest, some of them have that, but some of them don't. And this book is one of those to try to reach the ones that are struggling and not necessarily of their own doing, and to say that don't give up. And right. That's what I like about the message. It's one of those where, you know, you did go through the injury. Yeah. You did go through a time when you were like, I'm just done.
Yeah.
And you, I think you have going through the book. We didn't mention this, but I will mention it now. You had the basketball that had the KU colors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when you were a little bit down on yourself, in the book it shows you basically smashing the ball. And I was like, oh, he's having his Hulk moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
that's how strong Scott is here.
So, Hulk smash.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and I was just going to say that smashing of the basketball in relative to storytelling, you want to have a death at that kind of point in the story. And basically the death was that basketball, actually.
At least you weren't like Disney and made it apparent. Yeah. So.
What I thought was cool about it is what your dad did with the basketball and how he fixed that knee brace for you with the basketball in there. I thought that was really cool, and how you kept that basketball with you through all your trials.
Do you still have it?
Yes, and you know what? That brings up a great point, okay? Because I listen to the Grateful Dead. Actually, I got the XM radio, and I love the Grateful Dead. And they were like a jam band. So what they always wanted to do was try and find the next sound, all right? And so, like, one day I was listening to a call-in. These guys were calling in, and he was like, oh, man, I bet because they redid the Dead for, like, a reunion last summer up in Chicago, and Trey Anastasio for Phish played for him. And he said, oh, I bet Trey wishes he could go back and catch that one moment so they could have kept going. And the guy had such a good answer. He said he wasn't worried about that, because he was worried about the next sound that he might catch, right? So that was like the thing about the basketball. What seems like the worst thing that ever happened to you can actually be the best thing, because there's always other opportunities out there. And when I lived in Japan, I wrote another book. It was a little kid's book, and it was called Creactivate. And what Creactivating was is always searching for an opportunity. So say, like, one of my friends, he went out of town and he rented a car, and it was a Fiat. And I had never heard of the Fiat. And he told me about it, showed me funny pictures he took with it, because it's kind of a funny looking car.
Yep.
And after he told me this story, I started seeing Fiats all across the city, everywhere. So it's the same when you plant something in your brain. So I planted this book. I planted making the basketball team in my brain. And then all of a sudden, I started seeing opportunities to get closer to that dream. So
now, as we were talking earlier, in high school, you weren't the best player on the team.
Not at all.
So you weren't even the star player.
No, no. Yeah. And that actually prepared me, because that's another thing of the story. It's I didn't have to be the most talented basketball player. I didn't have to be the tallest, the fastest, or anything else. But everybody has something special that they can offer, right? And I had one thing that was special. I had this energy, this go get 'em attitude that I felt I could help Coach Williams' team. You know, I would stay out of his way. I would help the team in any way I could to make them better. And so that's what it's about too. It's about trying to find what's special inside you that can make you happy. And again, you don't have to go play basketball. You don't have to do a sport. What I try and teach people through the book is it's all about happiness. Find your happy place because it's down inside and you've got something special to get you to that happy place.
Now, in the book, you were talking about Coach Williams. There was one point where you had written him a letter and you had actually gone to go talk to him about that letter.
Yeah.
And the assistant coach actually got mad at you because can you go into some details about that?
I love that you remember that. Okay, so this is verbatim, man. So one night,
I'm gonna smack you down.
Yeah, I love it, dude. I love it. So
Coach Thompson.
So that summer, yeah, Coach Thompson. In reality, he's Steve Robinson. He's an assistant coach at North Carolina. He was my JV coach. Okay, and I had sent the letter to Coach Williams, and then I got a call back from Coach Robinson, and he said, and it's Coach Thompson in the book, and he said, you don't need to be talking to Coach Williams. He's too busy. You want to talk to anybody, you come talk to me. There's a tryout in the fall. You can try out like everybody else. So this was spring of 1994. That summer, I thought to myself, I'm going to do everything I can to make this team. So I used to wait in the Allen Fieldhouse gym where the players, the former and current players, played all the time. I'd sit there literally for 2 hours and no one would pick me up in the pickup game. And I said, okay, most people would think, okay, there's no way you're ever getting in there. Quit trying that. But in my mind, I was like, I've got 3 months to do everything I can. So I went every night and I tried to get on there. And finally, one night, Danny Manning picked me up on the team and I got in the game. Of course, I didn't even get the ball. No one passed to me. But little by little, I chipped away and I became friends with Rex Walters. And so Rex Walters and Danny Manning, they helped me out that summer. I started training with Rex all the time. Like after the players would leave, Rex was such a hard worker. And for you guys who don't know Rex Walters was the 14th pick by the New Jersey Nets. He took KU to a Final Four with Adonis Jordan. But so one night we were playing pickup and I saw Coach Williams walking by in there and I ran out as fast as I could. I could not even breathe by the time I got there. He said, now son, slow down, take a deep breath there. And I said, coach, I know that Coach Thompson didn't want me to talk to you, but I would love to talk to you about walking on this fall. And he said, okay, meet me at 8 a.m. the next morning. So I went home. I called my dad. I was like, dude, I'm having a meeting with Coach Williams. I was like, yeah. So I couldn't even hardly sleep that night. So I went there. I was like an hour. I got there at like 7 o'clock. And the thing is, though, they changed the basketball office. So I was sitting in front of the old basketball office, and the new one was down the hall. But all of a sudden, I see these footsteps in front of me. I see these shoes. I look up, and Coach Robinson was really tall. And I looked up, and I go, "Oh no!" He goes, "What are you doing here?" I go, "Coach, I know you're going to get mad, but I'm here to meet with Coach Williams." And by this time, I'd been sitting there forever. It was like, you know, I was going to be late for the meeting. He yelled at me so bad. But as he walked by, he looked back, and he goes, "And by the way, the new basketball office is up there." So I ran to the basketball office. I was late for the meeting with Coach Williams. But anyway, the first thing he said was right out of the book. He said, when I say 8 o'clock, it means 7:30. And then he said, you know, if you want to make this team, I'm going to tell you one thing. Do not go over Coach Thompson/Robinson's rules, right? So don't go over his head. That being said, what you're doing is good, playing with those guys. It's going to help you get better. And we have the tryout. And just like everybody else, you're going to have to try out. But in my mind, I had to talk to Coach Williams. I had to let him know how bad I wanted it. And why I could help his team. So it was, I love the way Sam drew that in the book, actually. He did so good. And by the way, Sam had never even known anything about basketball before we met.
Oh, wow.
Which is amazing how good he did. He is such a good artist. He's so talented.
Yeah, I like that.
What style would you say this is?
That, to me, I don't know
I'm
what
talking
the
about the pictures
style
of the
is, but the style came into effect from Cartoon Network when Ed, and Eddie was really popular.
With the really big eyes.
Really?
Yeah. And the,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I call it a rough or kind of an unfiltered, scratchy. Mm. I mean, it's not to where you can't see it. It's just if go out and go on YouTube. It'll be there. Look up Courage the Cowardly Dog or Ed, Edd n Eddy. And that's kind of what this style reminds me of.
Cool. And this is references from about 10 Even years ago, probably.
Arnold. Hey yeah. Arnold would work, too. Yeah. Hey Arnold's kind of in that same style.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it's actually called.
Well, I've got a couple things on that, because when he would draw that, he would draw it on these big boards, right? He'd do a pencil sketch first, and then he'd draw it on a big board, and he would he had these old 1950s nib pens. And so you dip them in the ink, and then you draw it. It was so cool.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
I'll have to send you some of the stuff. Style. Yeah.
It just seems kind of like a feather and quill type of deal.
Yeah.
They don't do that too much anymore. It's almost all digital.
Everything. You talk about your journey and all that you had to do to get to that point where you actually got to play during the game. But during the season, as you were practicing with the guys and such, did you learn anything there?
I mean, it like when you're playing with the best, you absorb so much. Like I played against Jock Vaughn every day in practice. And that's like when I finally did get to start in that senior game, I was really ready. Actually, you know, we huddled up before the game or before we ran out to the court. And Jock Vaughn was so charismatic, man. There was something about his eyes. I looked in his eyes, and there was a calm that came over me. He was a true leader. And actually, it led him to 11 years in the NBA. He became a head coach at Orlando. But yeah, when these guys rub off on you, you learn the tricks of the trade. And, you know, I learned so much in that year. I just, you know, it was so uplifting in so many ways, more so than, you know, learning so many basketball things, but life things that would take me for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So
how was it training with Jock Vaughn? Because in the book, you're running up and down the stadiums, you're doing chess and stuff like that. How was it training with Mr. Vaughn?
He was incredible. And so he actually, his character in the book is a combination of himself, Danny Manning, and Rex Walters. So yeah, I trained with Rex, I trained with Jock, I trained with Danny, and that summer it was incredible. Those guys where Rex had a work ethic I've never seen before, ever. That guy was diving on the floor, even like in those pickup games, it didn't matter. And he was under contract for NBA, but he was just a wild man.
Well,
so competitive.
Then it was rougher.
Yeah.
Scolded for that.
Yeah, like, totally.
What are you doing? You don't play in there. I think most, that's what they were talking about, I think, on ESPN today. Mm. It was like, the guys now, they can't because they're worth so much money. You can't go do those pickup passes. Yeah. If you get hurt, there's millions of dollars on the line. So,
totally.
Yeah. In your talks, you talk about three main points. We've kind of talked about the challenges. We've kind of talked about having the attitude. We've kind of talked about the other part where we've been talking about you kind of playing with other guys, practicing
Teamwork.
With other guys. And actually, it doesn't take just yourself sometimes to get where you're needing to go. Sometimes you need to have that assistance from other people, which, like Jonathan said, that was part of the teamwork aspect. So that's one thing that just to want to reiterate to the listening audience, you know, you don't have to do everything by yourself.
No, in fact, have
a support system.
You have to have a support system, man. Like any place you want to get to, whether it's whether it's a happy place or it's a sorry, let me get a quick drink.
He's got to go to his happy place.
I'm going to my happy place.
Well, you know, you weren't the best basketball player in high school, and many parents would have said, what, you want to go play basketball at KU? You're crazy, but your parents and your family were
part
supported.
Of your sports system. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what I was going to say is, like, you're going to have help no matter what in your journey to get to that happy place, right? And so the best thing that you can do is to help others, right? And that's definitely in the book. Another thing that's in the book that's a small thing is listening to your elders. Mm-hmm. There's a situation with my grandfather in there and also with Dr. Allen, the son of Fog Allen. They have wisdom, man. Older people have wisdom. Their experience is wisdom. And I think with this day and age where everything's so fast nowadays, it's just moving at such a rapid pace and you can get so much information off the internet and everything else. But sometimes there's a more valuable lesson to be learned, and that's from someone who has that experience.
Right.
And that's an underlying theme in the book as well.
So you had some interactions with Dr. Allen in their graphic novel. how many interactions with Dr. Allen did you actually have? Because he kept on telling you, you can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, so my interactions with him, the real story is that it was after I was trying to make I was trying to make a little independent film called Fieldhouse originally back mm-hmm. in 1998. I'd read a book called by Robert Rodriguez. It was
like Rudy?
No. Well, that was on, but it was called Rebel Without a Crew. And this guy made a movie for $7,000, right? So I figured I could do it. Little did I know that guy's an incredible talent. But so anyway, but I got to meet Dr. Allen and we hung out. I even have him filmed of him saying, I think you can do it. And he since has passed away, but he was a great man, such a good family.
I would be remiss without asking this question, partly because I'm a fan of it, but partly for Logan, since he's at work and was unable to be here. Part of your story, your journey to create the graphic novel, you actually traveled to Japan. We've visited about some of the mangas there, some of the animes, but watching your YouTube video, it was like you are a Japanese rap artist.
Hi, so does. I said yes.
How often? How fast?
Yeah. How did that happen?
By the way, Richard, you would love Tokyo, dude. It is so cool.
Well,
man.
We love J-pop and K-pop.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you guys would love it. You got to try and get a trip out there somehow, man. Would. You would be in heaven, dude. It is so cool.
We'd have to have somebody funding us to go out there.
Totally. Well,
we're like everybody else. We have empty pockets.
Yeah.
But it's a dream.
You could get it somehow. Get a grant on that, man. It would be great.
How did you end up in Japan and actually a Japanese rap artist?
So that's actually going to be the second book. Actually, okay. The second book is called Tokyo Dome. And my brother had been in Japan, and he was always calling me. And it was funny because he would call me at nighttime there; it'd be daytime here because it's on the other side of the earth. And he'd be like, "Oh, dude, you got to come out here. This place is incredible." All right, so. Scott Pollard was playing for the Sacramento Kings at the time. He was a teammate of mine. And back then, they used to do exhibition games, actually the first two games of the NBA season in Tokyo, in the Tokyo Dome. And Pollard was like, dude, you ought to come out there, visit your brother, come see me play or whatever. It was such a fun trip. I went for 2 weeks. And one thing led to another. I got offered a job to run a basketball program at a place called the Tokyo American Club. And so I lived with my brother out there. He was a DJ. He originally went out there to teach conversational English, but he had been a DJ all through college. He had been a DJ at that point for probably 12 years. And he ended up joining a band. And then we lived on a street. So we lived right above a Sakanaya and a Yasaya, which is a fish shop and a vegetable shop. And all day
sushi.
Long.
Hey, that's yum. Good. I love sushi.
Oh, the sushi there is amazing. Oh. It's like melt in your mouth. It's so good. Oh, but there's no fish amazing. Smell. It is so good.
It sounds amazing.
So every day these guys would be like, Hai irashai dozo, irashai, irashai, irashai. Hai irashai dozo, irashai masai. And that means like, welcome to our shop. And we heard this all day long. So my brother always had records playing. So one day we were having a couple beers. He put on a record with just beats. And we came up with the chorus of hai irashai dozo. And so this turned into a song that we made with his other bandmate. And we actually formed a group called the Nice Guy Gene. Guy Gene means foreigner. And nice guy is like, it was like a play on words. It was like nice guy. And then hito means person. So the song got picked up by a TV show called Kochi Kame. And if you ever get a chance, check it. It's a very old manga that turned into a TV show. Okay. And the name's very long. It's about this police officer at a park. And they chose our song, Hai Irashai, to be the ending theme song of the show for a while.
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I'll send that for sure, because I think that's on the internet. Yeah. And so then after that, we made a full album, and we just had like this fun, kind of crazy music. And you can still get the album on Apple iTunes Japan.
Oh, I was going to say, do you have any physical copies?
I can send you one, actually. Yeah, because on Amazon, actually, they actually have copies on Amazon you can still get. Yeah.
Richard, when he sends it to you, will you send it to me?
I don't know. Logan will probably confiscate that one. We have several soundtracks, and I think one of the PR companies, Black Panda PR, sent us Sakai no Awari.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That is a good band.
Oh, man. If
I'll
you
check
haven't
them out.
Listen to them.
Yeah.
Oh, man. They're all over the place in their music styles, but they define themselves as music theater.
Cool.
The only thing that I have reservations about it is a stupid clown.
Oh yeah, their DJ dresses up like a clown.
Oh really?
And Jonathan's not a fan of clowns. But yeah, I'll have to pull up one of their videos. But they're all over the place musically. They actually bought kind of like an old amusement park, and that's where they do a lot of their performances.
Wow.
So, and I think what is it? End of the World. Is
yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
What it roughly translate to? I think.
Yeah.
Is their name.
Yeah. Yeah. Sakai means world.
Okay, so we'll have to pull one of those up real fast because it just blew us away. They have four songs that they've done in English, and it's like, please come over. And they just released a greatest hits album that we got that link to, so thank you to them.
Nice.
Facebook, so.
Nice.
I'm gonna have to listen to it now.
Nice.
But can you explain some of the differences between here and Japan? Like, you were at one point, you were talking about the fingers. And,
oh, yeah, dude. So this
don't,
is.
Don't give the finger.
Do not give the finger. You will not eat sushi if you're doing that. So here's the deal. So what they do, it's the exact opposite over there. So as I mentioned, when it's day, it's night there, right?
Right.
When it's day here. Now, if you have an emergency, you dial 911 here in America, right? They dial 119. And then if you count on your hand in America, we do like outward, right? We start with a fist and we move out. They start with their hands out and move back down to a fist. They read up and down and they open the books the other way. Right. They drive on the opposite sides of the road. Actually, for a timeline, if you picture to your right is the future, to the left is the past, theirs is the opposite. And even like at the end of a movie, like credits scroll up, theirs goes to the side the other way. It is just so funny, the differences. But what it did for me and my brother, and this is going to be in the book, it's going to be kind of like, you know, when the Beverly Hillbillies go to Los Angeles and everything's so different, it's a fish out of water story.
Yep. That's the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yes, yeah, so my brother and I were the Beverly Hillbillies, totally.
In Japan.
Yeah, in Japan. But so yeah, it would be more of a fish out of water story. And then so with the big differences, there's also human similarities. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So now you're from Leawood. Is that where you're
Leawood, Kansas? Yep.
Tonight, where is that? Where you grew up?
Yes, that's where I grew up.
Okay, so that was a pretty metropolitan area, wasn't it?
Oh, it was very
as opposed to Lakin, Kansas.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, it's very suburban, very suburban. And then from there, yeah, I lived in Japan 7 years. I had little stints in Los Angeles and New York, and then I've been in Chicago the past 6 years, and that's where I met Sam up there. Mm-hmm.
That's why you have a Chicago number. I was like,
yeah, Chicago number, yeah.
We didn't block his number, did we?
No.
Okay.
Luckily, we didn't. But one of the things we definitely want to give you a chance, I don't have it called up on the internet, but I'm sure you know it off the top of your head. If not, I'll call it up. The website where they can go to get information for the
Fieldhouse. Yeah, it's just fieldhousebook.com. So if you think of Alan Fieldhouse, FIELDHOUSE, fieldhousebook.com. And then if people want to copies, I deal with that website. So you'll be emailing me and contacting me through that website.
Now, did you have a publisher that helped you with
this? No, we self-published it. And that was one thing I wanted to do because I don't know how people can publish nowadays. Like when you hear of people getting a book published, it's amazing. It's like winning the lottery, I feel like. But so we self-published it. And then finally, after I bugged a distributor for 10 weeks straight, every Tuesday, I showed him our results on Amazon. He finally accepted me for them to distribute nationally. So that was huge.
That's a big thing.
Oh, it was huge. It was so huge. Uh-huh. So Midpoint Trade Books, they hooked us up, and I'm going to go down to the American Library Association Expo in next Friday, and we're going to do a book signing there. And like really, schools and libraries are really where I want to hit because I just feel like it's such a motivational story. Yeah. I want to I feel it's a real teaching.
Right,
instrument, right. You know, it's almost education through entertainment. Right.
And this is one I would definitely say the librarians out there, pick it up for the middle school levels. Like I said, lower high school level as well.
And especially those sports kids.
The sports kids will enjoy it. One of the questions I do have, when I go into a sensitive area, so I don't want to offend, libraries, smaller libraries, especially smaller towns, budgets are being slashed like crazy.
Okay.
Is there a future publication going to be in trade, or is it just going to be the hardback
Oh, it'll be in paperback. Eventually sells. But if there's libraries out there, contact me at fieldhousebook.com. I will take care of you on that for sure.
I was looking at the book broke. on the back of the book. You have that some of the money that you make from the book is going to go towards the students and the athletic scholarships. How much percent? What percentage of that is going to go to them?
Yes, so 10% will go back to the University of Kansas and the students there. It's officially licensed by the University of Kansas. So I'm very proud about that, to give back to them. So it's, you know, that's kind of a dream of mine. I want to give back to the university that gave me back so much.
Carolyn's going to be pissed. She's one of the ladies that works there that had to be out of town.
KU fan.
Oh, KU fan.
She's actually loaned us some of her memorabilia for the summer to have here in the library. So she was not happy when she found out the date and she wasn't going to be here. So, so shout out to her. Sorry, Carolyn. But this is one, since it's KU license, you can say, hey, KU memorabilia.
Yeah, for sure.
And it does have the Jayhawk on the back.
That was cool. One of the cooler parts.
So congratulations on that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, actually, at the DeBruce Center, you know where they have the original rules of basketball? Remember that was like big news that Kansas got it? So at the DeBruce Center, July 23rd, they're having a grand opening of the DeBruce Center where that's located. And I get to sign books there. I'm so proud.
That's awesome.
They're going to have it in the gift shop there. That is so awesome. Yeah. So I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, it's definitely congratulations again. Yeah.
Thank you.
And everything.
Thank you.
That helps a lot and everything. It's a very nice package for the libraries that do have a budget for this. Definitely add it to your purchase list. If you're a small library, I would encourage you to still pick it up for your library. It's one of those that you might have to market it a little bit. You know, it's most of your graphic novel people are going to be into the superhero stuff and whatnot.
Yeah.
But find your sport fans. Find the kids that are interested in that type of stuff. Find the kids that you might recognize, might need a little, I'll say, pick me up. And just say, hey, give this a shot and you might enjoy it. And I think you'll find some readerships there. And then by word of mouth, it'll start spreading that it's a good book. So definitely encourage all the libraries out there to pick it up for sure. Small to large, it would fit well within any collection. So definitely do that. Is there anything else? Because I know you need to hit the road, so I don't want to keep you too much.
I just wanted to make a note of what you were saying, how you were getting so pumped at the end of the game.
Uh-huh.
And I've actually been to Allen Fieldhouse the number of two times in my life. But like, I can see why you got pumped because, you know, all the energy that the crowd gives, and like, it is just an amazing feeling to be in Allen Fieldhouse. And like, I saw why you got pumped. So,
oh yeah,
I think that
the realization of a dream.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I was walking on 4 feet of air when I was coming out of that game. And like you said, there's an energy to Allen Fieldhouse where if you have one chance, it's a bucket list of so many college basketball people. They say it's the place to see a college basketball game.
Yes,
and the reason is that they built Allen Fieldhouse to attract Wilt Chamberlain back in 1945. And when they built it, it was so long ago that they didn't have the fire codes like they have nowadays. So the aisles that you have are so thin, and then it's all bleachers. So people are packed in there, and you're uncomfortable sitting there. There's no seat backs, so there's nothing to do. Yeah, you might as well stand and cheer for the team, right? So that's cool you notice that.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit of irony that basketball kind of it's created here in Kansas, but yet we have no NBA team.
Yeah, well,
I wonder if it's because the college is so popular.
Yeah, I'm sure it helps.
You know, would an NBA team even survive? Because, you know, there is a hard market. You know, Kansas City is the closest, and all their stuff's on the Missouri side, let's be honest. And Denver's the next. So, but even at that, you know, we're such a college community.
Totally.
I think it's still, I mean, the Thunder, shockingly, is in Oklahoma City, which was kind of a little bit of a surprise because it was kind of the same atmosphere in Oklahoma as well as Kansas. But Oklahoma City, even though they're smaller, they feel so much bigger because it's such a huge landmass. And I don't know if Kansas actually has that, but it's just a irony that, you know, started here in Kansas and we don't have an NBA team. It's like, what? So, Well, Scott, thank you for doing this for us tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. You guys have been the best hosts. I appreciate it.
It was so nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Hope you've had fun.
Yes, for sure. This has been a blast. I appreciate it.
I want to also mention again that you can go to fieldhousebook.com to look at Scott's book. You'll have their sample pages up there, also artwork of the cover. Get in touch with him that way, and he'll sell it to you, not face-to-face, but as close to face-to-face as you can get. When were you going to be at the Fieldhouse, you said?
For the DeBruce Center, next to Allen Fieldhouse will be July 23rd.
So July 23rd. So I'm going to kind of put this through the rush and make sure it gets up before then. So definitely, if you're going to be in the Lawrence area, stop by the KU
Fieldhouse.
Yeah. Stop by the KU Fieldhouse. A smart ass. Stop by the Fieldhouse and visit with Scott. He's a pleasure. He's a ball of energy.
Yes.
This is one thing. If you don't have energy, he'll fill it for you.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one thing, I think, if you're working on a team, if you don't have that person, that's a person you also need to have on that team as well. Because sometimes I'm the slow, steady going. Mm. Sometimes it's the energetic people. So
I'm the quiet person.
But definitely, it's an inspiring book. It's to help the kids. And even adults can read it. I mean, it's an inspiring book to, don't forget, have fun with your dreams. You might make them. Don't give up. So that's the main gist that I'm getting from it. I'm still living my childhood and doing my dreams. Maybe. Michelle's giving me a thumbs up, so I'm doing it halfway decent. So.
Better than the other finger.
That's true. So again, Scott, we thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much. And how about Jonathan? Maybe we give Carolyn a last rock chalk, all right?
All right, ready?
So I'll go one, two, three.
Rock, chug, jig.
You're going to have to do that again. Way lower. Because you just.
You got too high.
You just blasted it.
Let me turn you down to
I'll
20.
I'll see you a little bit.
Okay. Right. Try it there.
Okay.
Ready?
Ready.
One,
two, three.
Rock, chalk, Jayhawk,
KU. There it was. They broke the internet.
We turned it all the way to 11 there.
We had to.
We've been having fun here tonight with Scott Novosel. Definitely check out his book, Fieldhouse. Go to fieldhousebook.com. Check it out. Again, we've been having fun. We hope you've been having fun listening. Everybody, enjoy. Bye.
All right.
See ya. Thank you guys so much. That was awesome.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.